Blog Talk Radio.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Yes, we all couldn't have said it any better than that. That's Paul Harvey, folks, from back in 1965. Isn't it amazing that over 50 years ago, and this is getting worse and worse, everything he said in there, folks, is exactly what's happening now, and it's gotten worse since then. It's spooky, scary, but it's revelation. It shows that in our Bibles, folks. Welcome to the Pit Radio News. The Pit stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth. And I am your host, Glenn Atkinson, down here in Texas. And we have a co-host, a great co-host, Gary Rumor, way up there in North Dakota. How's things going up there in North Dakota, Gary?
Well, it's going pretty good. It's supposed to be a kind of a storm, kind of blustery weather, a little wintry snow. And so far, nothing's hit yet, but it kind of looks gloomy out. It's getting darker, so I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Hopefully we don't get anything because I'm getting tired of shoveling snow.
I hear you. I hear you. You know, that's one of the many reasons why I moved down many years ago from Canada because, you know, it's even worse up there. You know, down here you don't have to shovel the rain, the sunshine, or you know, it does get cold down here, but, you know, we don't see too much snow, that's for sure. But we'll leave it up there in the north. How about that?
That sounds like a good idea. And one thing about living where you're living, you don't need to worry about the, if you have a diesel vehicle, you don't have to worry about the fuel gelling up when it gets really cold. And, yeah, so.
That's for sure. for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of things you don't have to worry about down here, and that's for sure. But one thing that we do all have to not really worry about, but I have to address in this country, in this world, is this topic of this gun control, you know, with all these school shootings and mass murders and whatever, and these gun-free zones that are just ridiculous, you know. And, you know, this is a topic that we're going to have, along with others that might creep into our discussion, you know, the First Amendment, also with the Second Amendment. They're so closely knit-tied that, you know, we lose one, you lose them both, or, you know, it's just ridiculous. So, you know, with all this, these you know, media, the fake news out there with all this, you know, and this incredible doctrine they're trying to shove down, this narrative they're trying to shove down people's throats about how the gun control works and whatever have you. You know, we've talked about this many times over the shows we've had and other discussions and, you know, in our own private lives and stuff like this too, Gary. So I want to welcome everybody to the Pit Radio News. And if anybody has any kind of a comment or a question, please call in to 646-787-8534. And if you do have a question or a comment or anything you want to be part of the show that way, please press 1. If not, yes, you're welcome to just listen, of course, definitely. But if you want to be part of the show, and just call that number, 646-787-8534, press 1, and we'd love to get your comment or your question and you know, do what we can with that. Of course, obviously, speaking the truth and making sure that this is a round table so we don't jump all over everybody. And, you know, so Gary, I'm going to hand this over to you. And you know, we talked in the green room, and we talked, like I said before, many times over the shows we've had, about this topic of the guns and the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, our rights, our liberties, and how, you know, just the people that just, you know, want to push their own narrative and what they want to have done and serve their own agendas, not the country and not God. You know, and another thing too is having, you know, having lost the connection of God in schools with these children and everything, you know, that weighs heavily on why we receive what we're receiving now with these gun shootings also. So can I get your take on that, you know, for the listening audience? Well, Gary, about this, please.
You know, we have lost God. And I'm going to go a little farther than that. When the families break up too, when you see divorces and stuff, there's a fallout from that too, because God didn't believe that you were to get married just for a temporary time. It was till death do you part. And
good point.
You know, and that's a lot of it right there. Because I remember back in the 60s and stuff when families actually stayed together more. We didn't have these school shootings, you know. It just, you know, if they did happen, it was so rare. I remember back, I mean, and the schools weren't quite so, let's say, outrageous, too. So if somebody ate a Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun, they didn't get kicked out of school or have the FBI called for something like that, you know, because kids are kids, you know. They'll play cowboys and Indians. We did that. We never shot anybody growing up, but we played cowboys and Indians. Now, if we did that,
right. We'd
probably be kicked out of school forever, you know. But there is a solution to a lot of this stuff. They're going to have, if you're going to get rid of God, and like Paul Harvey said, they're going to start seeing drug-sniffing dogs and you're going to start seeing metal detectors at every door, you know, because that's about the only other way you could stop it, you know. Other than that, you know, I don't believe in gun-free zones myself. I think gun-free zones are the problem, you know. And Democrats, this is what really irks me about them. They really, I went after Fast and Furious and all these abortions, there's been over 60 million abortions committed, you know, which is a legalized form of murder. And I know that God doesn't support abortion, you know, because that's his creation that we are not allowed really to destroy, you know. Human life we're not allowed to destroy, even if it is a cluster of cells right away. It starts out that way,
Yeah. But
it still turns into a human being. We have no right to destroy it, you know, because there is a value, a high value to human life. And
amen.
Of course, when we get into, like, these school shootings, I say something that might sound a little outrageous, but I think it's true. I think a lot of people in the Democrat Party will never admit it, of course. They actually look at these children as a sacrifice so they can get their agenda through, see? Because when they're murdered, that's highly emotional, you know? when somebody shoots an, when a guy shoots another guy on the street, two adults or something, it doesn't seem to affect people as much as when you see innocent kids getting killed at school, and the guy shooting them, you know, just seems like they almost like they enjoy killing them. And of course, the Democrats want to, that's their own agenda. If you talk about a real solution, you know, and the only way you can do it is you're going to have to secure the building. For one thing, making my home gun-free is not going to stop the next school shooting. All it will do is put in everybody homes that are gun-free that the government wants to take away, and they do want to take them all away, not just the AR-15. They want to take everything away if they can do it. That's going to make the, we're going to have the same problems in homes. You're going to see people coming in and shooting people inside homes. I think gun ownership keeps the bad guys out. You know, it's a deterrent. You know, and of course, if they don't know which one's armed and which one's not, it keeps them confused. And that's what our founders intended, you know, because we did not want that. It actually stops the shootings, really. You know, if there is a shooting, it might be a, it's very rare. It might be a domestic or something like that, but you don't see these mass shootings. You know, but when you go to states where they have hard gun control, really heavy gun control, you see a lot of these shootings because the criminal is not afraid anymore. They may take their own life at the end, but that's when after they get all adrenaline charged, you know. And it's a little different, but if when you have guns, they just don't get that adrenaline charge because they say, we better not go there because we're probably not even going to get in the doorway, you know. And that's the thing. When you have, when you protect, when you're trained in guns, and you, excuse me, when you know how to, you know, handle the gun, you know the law, stuff like that, you will be able to handle the situation. And I'm getting dry. I got to get a drink here, Glenn, so I'll turn it back over to you.
No problem, my friend. And, you know, a very interesting point you made there, of course, as always. And, you know, another one, I'd like this question to be asked to from anyone to any of these people out there, whether it be the politicians, actors, all these people that have security guards that are obviously security guards. They're these particular ones. They're packing guns. So therefore, I would like anyone to ask these people. Okay, you want gun control? Well, let's look at it this way. Let's get back to this so-called gun control by answering it in this question. You have a security guard out there that's protecting you. Now, Nancy Pelosi, we'll say to Nancy Pelosi, you have security guards, and she'll say, yeah. I'll say, okay, do you find those security guards are hired because they're responsible with that gun? She'd say yes. I say, okay, then that's great, and I don't want that guy to be taking that away from you. I do not want that. I want you to be secure. I want you to be safe. I don't want no one to say that you should never have a security guard with a gun. Just like anybody else that's out there, that has that if you guys want this gun control, it means you want to take these guns away, and you got to want to take them away. And so, therefore, you're talking about a responsible person here that you're going to actually take away their guns, their rights, because of someone that's out there that's not responsible. So the word responsible is the key to this whole thing, I believe. If they're responsible and they're protecting you, and then there's a guy that goes out there, or a woman, or kid, or whoever, and they're not responsible with that gun. So there's responsible and there's not responsible. That word responsible comes with one word. It's the mentality of the person. The responsible comes from the brain. It doesn't come from the gun. There's not an irresponsible gun out there. There's not a responsible gun out there. It's an object, an inanimate object that has to be used by someone whether has a good responsible attitude or a not so good responsible attitude with it. So therefore, that foils right there, the gun control right there, because if you're going to say you need to get rid of the guns, you need to get rid of all these things, no, you're looking at the inanimate object that's the problem. Because if that was the case, then Nancy Pelosi or anyone else in that same realm, they would not need a security guard because that security guard wouldn't be responsible either. So therefore, why would they need a gun if they're not responsible? Then they'd make more problems than they would. So therefore, it's the gun that is not the problem. It is the attitude, the mentality behind the person that's getting the gun. So therefore, we have to get and tackle the mentality, the disorder, whatever have you, that gets into someone's mind. So therefore, if we want to take away the guns, we take away the guns from the people that are not responsible, not the people that are responsible. How do you like that one, Gary?
That's exactly right, yeah. You know, but I would say the ones that, you know, take away, if you take away guns, you know, you got to make sure that they're a threat. You know, I mean, if some people, you know, they can learn things about guns, and this is why a family stays together. When you have a family stay together, father, you know, a lot of times they have hunting guns and stuff, and the safety is the same on all guns. There's no really, you know, the AR-15 really isn't any different than your hunting rifle as far as safety. And there's only one thing, the only one thing you got to remember, really, if you're going to be safe, is never point a gun at another person. That means whether it's empty or not, you get trained in that. You train your brain that muzzle, when what comes out of that muzzle is coming out awful fast, and if it hits something, it's going to do a lot of damage. And that's why you don't point it at anybody or anything you don't want to destroy, and whether it's empty or not. You just develop that habit. That's a good habit to get into. And, you know, I started shooting at 6, but this is what I mean. When you have families that stay together, most men like to hunt, have guns and stuff like that. Women probably not as much, although it's changing now, I think, because a lot of women carry a gun because... And it does kind of take care of the rapists, you know. You don't hear too many rapes in our state, you know. It's, you know, because there's a lot of women that carry guns too. But you train your kids too. I mean, it's let them. I learned at 6 years old how to shoot a .22, and I learned about safety. And I've seen kids that have been trained at 6 years old, and I'm talking about family trained too, not by professionals trained. You know, that I never even was trained to use the safety on a gun. Because I don't believe in using safeties. A safety doesn't make a gun completely safe. I just never chambered a round. I never put a round in the chamber until I was ready to shoot. So when we out shot 10 cans, and that's the only time we put a round in the chamber, and then shot at the 10 can, make sure there was a good bullet stop behind, because bullets go quite a distance, and you have something there to stop the bullet so it can't kill somebody or hurt somebody or do damage, you know, half a mile, a mile away, or however. You know, 22 is about a mile range is what it carried, so we made sure we never shot in line with buildings. You know, made sure that was we knew it was behind the target. And we were trained that way, and, you know, I shot, I don't know how many thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds, and I never had a misstep, never harmed anybody, and it pays off. It's not an accident if you don't have if we never hit anything. If all these rounds are fired, not one's damaged, there's got to be some truth to practicing safety. That's where it comes through, and you can see that. I believe people can be trained that way. Now, some people shouldn't have guns. I've seen people handle guns when they're reckless and they point them around. Oh, and they say, oh, don't worry, the safety's on. Well, I said, I don't care if the safety's on or not. I don't like looking down the business end of a bore. Nobody likes to look down the business end of a bore, of a rifle, you know. And like I said, the safety, I always say probably more should be used for more like law enforcement more than for hunting, because when you're hunting, I just like I said, I left the gun empty. If I was hunting a deer, if I saw the deer and it was a safe direction to shoot, then I put a round in the action and then used it that way. I never had a mishap. It seemed to work really well. You know, the safety, stuff like that on them, I don't know. I mean, I guess it helps, but it isn't 100% safe, you know. So that's my take on it, so.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, it is all about the safety and safety within the person themselves to be safe with that gun. And, you know, and it comes back to a point you made very, very eloquently, and that was, you know, having God away out of the schools, you know, and God we trust is on our on everything. You know, they're threatening to take that away. Of course, you know, they got away from the schools, whatever have you, and so they indoctrinate you with something else to replace that, and that is their own false gods or their own, you know, whatever they're doing with people, kids nowadays.
The thing nowadays, they want to get rid of God so the government, the people in government, can play God themselves. See?
Exactly.
They want to be the higher power. They want to rule us and tell us what to do. But, you know, God didn't rule us. I mean, he left us to make mistakes. He guided us, but he never ruled us. And that's what freedom's about, see? Yes, there's consequences when you pass away. If you didn't follow God, you'd be punished, you know. But the thing is, if you followed him, then you wouldn't be punished. You'd be rewarded, you know. But the government can't do what God can do. I mean, government can promise things. They can promise you a paradise. but the government will never be able to deliver paradise. Only God can do that. And see, that's where, and that's an evil sin from the government. Anybody that does that is actually committing a horrible sin. You know, they will be punished.
Amen.
I believe someday in the future. I mean, even Hillary, I think someday she's going to pay a price for what she's done. So, you know.
Well, you know, there's a quick correlation. You know, for since they've gotten God out of the schools and whatnot, now we're seeing how this has really hurt society. So I suggest one thing, and it, you know, both of these words start with G, and the three letters. So how about we get back to God control instead of gun control? Once we have God control, we do not have to worry about the attitudes, the mindsets of a lot more of these people, you know, doing the wrong thing. Because in God we trust. We're trusting in God. We're not in government we trust, or not in gun control we trust. Because there's no trust in that. It has to start. The foundation is of God, and the only thing we can have, we can only build on walls on the strong foundation of God. So if we have gun control, That's not gonna control nothing but the powers that be. Instead of giving the power back to God the way it should have been to begin with, we have God control, which gives us our self control of doing the right thing in a reactionary measure. So therefore, in God it says, you know, thou shalt not murder. He didn't say thou shalt not kill in self defense, but he doesn't say nothing should be offensive, because if you're doing anything that's an offense, It's an offense to God. So, but if you're doing something and to defend your rights, God-given rights in this country, and if you have to use a gun, or if you have to use a knife, if you have to whatever to defend yourself, then you are allowed to do so by the God's rights. Now, the government is in here, and it's also in the Bible, and it shows in Revelation how the government's going to try to control you, and they're going to take away your freedoms and your liberties and your rights and whatever have you. And therefore, our forefathers seen that could obviously be a problem. So our forefathers said, hey, you know what? We're going to put a constitution in here that's going to be Bible. It's going to be based on the Bible. You know, we get some people that say, oh, well, in that constitution, it doesn't say God. It doesn't say Bible. It's not about what it says as far as just the name. It's in there. It's about the attitude that comes with it. That means that it's a godly-based constitution that gives you peace of mind. It gives you your God-given rights, your liberties, and your freedoms to do the right thing in reaction to something that's out there, and that is go to God first. You see what's in that Bible. You know how to defend yourself. Next thing you know, when you know God, and you have a relationship with God, because it's not a religion, it's a relationship, it's a reality. Then once you get that and you understand that, it's like breathing. You do things as a reactionary measure in the right way that God would see us. You always ask, what would Jesus do, or what would Jesus say? Well, not what the government would say or what the government would do. No, that's not it. That's man control. That's how man has come up with this idea about gun control, because no, that's wrong. So what is this? That when the man wants to control something, they're doing it for self agenda. They're doing it for their own narrative to pass themselves off as being the authoritative figure. And government is not here to do that. They're here to help with God protect us from our losing our rights and our liberties and whatever. That's what the Second Amendment was in place for. It wasn't for to defend ourselves just among ourselves as citizens. It's to defend ourselves against the government that could come at you and do something that's going to take away your liberties and your rights and your freedoms. That's what it's there for, and that shows right in the Constitution. It says in there to defend yourself against the government. If they take everything away, folks, guess what? They have you over the barrel. They're the ones controlling you. That's not God control. That's government control. That's gun control. That's what I call control over you, taking everything that you have of your liberties and rights that were God given you right from the day one before you even born. They were given to you, and only God can take those things away from you. Is that right, Gary?
Well, that's very true, and God. Well, his name is not mentioned in the Constitution, of course, but it's mentioned. They said Creator. We are all endowed with certain inalienable rights, you know, by our Creator, and that's what they mean, God. And that's in the
Amen.
Declaration of Independence, the very first line. And the first thing that's listed is life. So really, there's your right there to life. and they're violating it when they're killing babies in the womb. Then liberty, of course, which is freedom, and the pursuit of happiness, which means we should be happy. God doesn't want us happy. He doesn't want us miserable. He wants us happy. And all government can do to us is make us miserable because they take away your property and stuff. And God's not against you having property. I mean, you know, he lists what's greed and what's not greed. God does define that very clearly. He doesn't have any problem with you earning money and making a living and have a few laughs with your friends. In fact, he supports that. He supports families getting together at the dinner table. You say grace before your meal, but if you want to talk and visit, that's what it's all about. To talk and visit, maybe have a few laughs too. You know, there's nothing wrong. In fact, God had a sense of humor anyway, you know. I mean, he put people like Red Skelton out there, and, you know, I mean, he had a sense of humor. You know, and Red kept it clean. He kept it moral. Now the sense of humor, it's all based, it's actually kind of dirty humor. You know, I mean, it really, that isn't what God intended. But he did intend, you know, like Red Skelton, you know, where it was clean. You know, your five-year-old could watch it, you know. Without, you know, covering their eyes or their ears, you know.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, you mentioned one key word in there that was very, very much needed to show people what God expects. The word is earn, E-A-R-N. We earn these rights and everything because it is, God does not give you more than you can handle. When you handle that, you've earned the right to continue with that. And therefore, that's responsibility. So earning the responsibility, and you keep it going, and therefore, the pursuit of happiness will continue to continue to grow because you're earning everything. So therefore, if you're blessed with a brand new vehicle, and you're glorifying God in the process, you've earned that. You did this. You did that. If you're spending your time and your money, that how God would want it, and God needs you to have it, then you've earned everything that you're getting. Because you earned it. You didn't just sit there and wait for someone to give it to you. See, if the government is taking something away, hear that, folks. If the government is taking something away, they're taking away something you earned. So therefore, they're going to give it to someone else, themselves. Therefore, how did they earn that? By taking something. They didn't earn the right to take it from you. So therefore, they're going against God. You cannot have your cake and eat it too at the same time when you're expecting that someone else is out there and they're earning all this stuff that they're getting, whatever have you, and they're paying taxes on it, and then they want to take it away from you also. I mean, that means you're working for nothing. So therefore, like Parhavi said, there's no incentive to do it to work. There's no incentive to, why not? Why should I work? Why should this when the government's going to take from them and give it to me? Well, hey, you know what? Why not? You know, that's okay. That'll work. That makes me a lazy voter. Makes me lazy. It makes me go, yeah, I'll vote for them because guess what? I don't have to work. I don't have to do nothing. They're going to take everything away from everybody and they're going to give me some of that. Oh, yeah, why not? Well, see, there's no part, not even no incentive to work. So therefore, there's no incentive to earn anything when you can be given, it can be given to you. And this is why we get into the facts of our freedoms, our rights with our First Amendment. We get all these illegals coming over here and you know, not everyone is it that, you know, that comes over here that is wrong for the society. If they come across legally and they're adapting to our rules, which is God rules first. If they want to come over here and they want to, you know, do something that's going to actually just get something for free, well, they've taken, that's what they're doing. They're taking away from someone that's earned it, and then they pay their taxes, and then that taxes gives you, the one that's doing nothing, something for nothing. I don't know, Gary, but there's something wrong with that picture, do you think?
Oh, that's true, you know, and you know, we're talking about gun control. Let's go back to that for a second. If they confiscate guns, if they ever get to that point, what are guns? That's private property also. And if they can confiscate guns, they can take anything else. They can take your prized car away. You know, they'll have a reason, because that's another thing. Nobody talks about that. You know, that's a right that the Second Amendment, you wrote, you know, you're right about that. It's about defend ourselves against government tyranny. And there's a little bit for hunting. I mean, there's a little bit there for hunting because at one time the settlers fed their families by using guns. But it was written in with the intention of defense against country and for country, defending your country. And that's even foreign governments coming in trying to take over, you know.
Right.
So that's the thing. So And the thing is, people come in, when they come in legally, they assimilate to our rules and our laws. You know, now they're coming in, people coming in illegally, and they're Balkanizing. They want to change it into their country. And why are they leaving their country? Their country's so bad, so they're trying to turn our country into a third-rate country. It will be just as bad, and we'll be trying to leave, you know. By that time, they probably would lock down the gates and won't let us leave, you know, if it gets that bad. So,
well, you're right, and, you know, just take my example for my own self. Coming here from Canada, okay, I come here, and, you know, I come here legally. I had a lot of things going wrong, whatever. I didn't leave, but even though the government's doing what it's been doing, you know, I mean, past governments, whatever, but I'm saying, and I'm in the process of getting it all corrected, but through the, you know, almost 12 years now, the trouble I've went through with immigration and I've been assimilating through the whole thing. It's just that what they do is they contradict their own law, and they pick and choose who they want to, you know, attack, and in the wrong measures and whatever have you. But the thing is I know the gun laws here are what they are. If I don't like it, Gary, I have the option of leaving, not the option of just make it coming upon myself and changing that law myself and going out and abusing, doing something or whatever have you. That is not right. I come here to assimilate. And even though I didn't know totally everything about America, I still don't, but I'm saying, but all the things I came here for, I knew one thing. I knew one thing, that America is based on God and God-given rights, and I have to assimilate to the Constitution that was based on God, okay? Based on God's principles, his law, God's law. And if something is not right within the government changing something of God's law, I, as a foreigner that's coming in here, cannot take it upon myself to correct it by myself or just do whatever I feel. What I have to do is, if I don't like that is a problem, then I have to be part of the change. I cannot be part of the problem. So therefore, if I'm here, and I'm here legally, and I call it legal immigration, or I call it illegal aliens, there is no immigrant when it comes to illegal. That's an oxymoron. I don't care what anybody wants to say. It is alien. You're an alien life form. You're coming from another country. Means until you get here legally, you're not an immigrant. You're immigrant implies and is legal. Alien is illegal, and that is the difference. And that's why I come here legal. And many times they've been tried and try to convict me to kick me out of here. But I'm still here, folks, because I'm here to be part of the change of something that's gone wrong, and not be part of the problem. Because folks have said to me, Glenn, all these years I'm working now legally, but I never worked. And I never worked illegally at all. I would not do it because I didn't want to be part of the.
You did have some success because you have a job now and you're working. That means you're moving in the right direction. Just get it finished so you can become a sworn citizen. You know.
Right, but that's my whole point. Is every step of the way, there's been problems. Okay, but I've been part of the change to correct that problem, and so therefore
exactly.
I'm everything I can do, and I'm now getting the government, you know, this year is doing a lot more in this whole process, and I'm going to be, exposing all the reasons to why the problems have happened, not just to me, of course, and once I get it going, once this gets going and it's out there and it's exposing all the problems, a lot of people are going to come out of the woodwork, and a lot of people that are just American citizens, have been here all their lives or whatever, and they're going to see, wow, This is why it's attached to so many other problems. It's not just one problem. It's so many others that collectively has made problems within my life and others. I'm not doing it for myself. I came here because God asked me to come here. I was commanded. You know, it's the way it is. I came here, and I'm commanded to stay here until God is done with me. And that's what our God-given right is. We have freedom of our own will or freedom of God's will. And therefore, we can choose. But with one, we have a reward with God. With the other one, we have consequences. And so therefore, if someone wants to come here from another country and they want to impose their will on this country, even if that country has a problem and is wrong what they're doing, they got to be part of the change. They cannot just take it upon themselves and go out there and try to correct themselves. No, there's a process for that. And a process is praying and also doing it with the government and whatever have you. I did not go out there and get a job saying, everybody's telling me, oh, you should just go ahead and work, Glenn. Even, you know, you're here legally. You should be able to do it. I said, yes, should be. You forgot. That's the key word here. Should and am not is two different ways of thinking. I had to make sure that the change, they corrected that problem by changing something to make sure that it won't happen to other people. I'm in that process, and it's been a long process. I've been working out for a little over 13 months, but you know, this is out of 12 years, folks. This July will be 12 years. So 10 and a half years I went through all this, and I'm still going through it. But there is a progression in it. But you've got to be patient with that. You know, you got to be patient because you know, anytime God's using you, He's not just going to snap His fingers. Because we need to see there's a process through all that, and everybody has to see that how it all ties together in order for you to understand why it needed to be corrected in the first place. You can't just change something and all of a sudden, you know, pass potatoes and not even think about it. No, you have to understand the whole process, and that's what I learned over the many years that. And parts of that, where God did just click His fingers and things just happened. In certain parts of the process, but not the whole process. Because you know what, folks? It's no different than if you get, as a kid, $5 an allowance, and you go out and you blow it, and then you keep every week you get $5 and then blow it. There's no understanding of the process to why you needed to have this in the beginning. So therefore, you're abusing it. So therefore, God does not want you to abuse the process. He wants you to see the process, be a tool for Him, and as to glorify Him, being a messenger to say, hey, this is exposed because this is what went wrong right back. So we got to get to the root of it. We can't just say, oh, here we go, here's a pill, or here's a little thing to kind of help this. No, we need to pull that root out. In order to do that, we have to understand and go backwards into that and see, okay, you know what? What happened here? So it's the same with the gun control and whatever have you. The problems are the roots. We have to go back to the root of why they want gun control. There's two reasons: to push their own agenda for their own, basically for their own control over you. And with that, the secondary one, I should say, should be the primary reason to what they should need to understand is it has to be God control, not the gun control. If they get that, then they realize there's the process they have to go back and correct, and that is getting God back in the schools, God back at your dinner tables, and less watching TV, more in the Bible, and understanding it, not just reading the word by word, because you know you need to study it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, in order to understand how it all comes together, New Testament and Old Testament. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not say, oh, there you go, forget it. No, He came here to fulfill it, and He died for all of our sins. So therefore, if we don't have God control, there's going to be gun control, and there's going to be government control, and there's going to be every man controlling everything. And guess what's happening in the process? We're out of control. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, you're exactly right. And if it keeps on going on that way with more and more and more control, it won't be long, and pretty soon they're going to start controlling when you live and when you die. It's going to be government making those decisions. You know, it wouldn't be very fun to say, okay, you lived 70 years, maybe you got sick, and it's probably, you know, maybe it's terminal, and the government will say, well, we'll just execute them like we do your pet dog. We'll just put a needle in their arm or gas them to death or whatever. And I'm sure that's going to happen someday, you know, if we keep going in this direction away from God. Because, like I said, when they play God, they're going to also decide who lives and who doesn't. And, you know, and even though they claim equal rights, the left, they always say equal rights, they're still going to discriminate. You can see they're kind of discriminating against the white male, you know, because they blame the white male for slavery, and none of us are around when slavery is going on. I mean, in fact, my parents came over from Germany 100 years later. You know, they had nothing to do with it. And yet we're going to be blamed because of the color of skin. That shows how stupid those ideas are. I mean, discriminating against somebody because maybe their great-great-great grandparents had slaves. You know, it isn't their fault. They had nothing to do with it. And, you know, I mean, that's the problem. And if you want to see the results, I'm going to just switch gears a little bit here, but it's still going to be related to the same instance without God. Okay. Take a look at what's happening with all these protests, you know, and there's no God. And you see the ones are throwing rocks in the storefront windows. In fact, there are some students that are protesting the NRA and stuff and protesting, you know, like pro-guns conservative groups. And they were throwing rocks into the vehicles and stuff and breaking the windows out. And these students, people that are doing this kind of stuff, someday they're going to be in Congress. And I don't know if I want radicals or crazies in Congress, you know, because they're going to even get worse. I mean, I couldn't even imagine how much worse they're going to get, but I know it's going to get worse, There's going to be places, you can't right now, if you're a conservative, if you're pro-gun, you can't go, say, to Berkeley College and tell them your side of the story. They run you out. They throw rocks at you. In fact, you have to usually go with security because you get injured. And one security officer was injured at one of these protests. And the thing is, that's the thing. That's where we're heading. We're seeing the First Amendment already being taken away. And these guys get in Congress, they'll make it beyond the colleges. They'll probably say any public place. Anytime you want to say something, they'll shout you down. And that's the thing. They're not going to stop. So the only way we can do it, we're going to have to defeat them. And God's going to give us the tools to do it. I want it to be peaceful, of course. We all do. But, if they get violent, I don't know what else to do. They're going to have to be arrested and tossed in jail and, people that do this stuff. And I think they should be. I think with some of these riots, I think they're going to have to crack down on it because I know the conservative movement, people on our side, we're not the violent ones. We're not the ones that are out to shoot everything in sight. But I've seen some people on the left, Antifa, I think the group is called, they're a Democrat group, and they also have guns, and they use the guns, even though they didn't point it. I saw this one reporter, they're intimidating. They wouldn't let him go to his group. They just kept blocking. Every time he moved, they'd move with him, and they wouldn't let him go anywhere. And there were two of them there that had guns, and they could see they had the camera. He was rolling the camera, and the camera was just shaking. You could tell he was scared to death, because he was just trying to get to his group, and they wouldn't let him go. You see, and that's the thing. This is where we're heading to. Complete control. You're absolutely right, my friend. It's complete control where you won't be able to say what you want to say. And they're trying to control thinking, which they can never do. They try to, but they'll never be able to do that. But they'll try to control your thoughts. That's what they're trying to do. Like I said, they're playing God. They can't do it, and they're playing God. And human beings are flawed. Every human being is flawed. That's why they can never promise anything and deliver it. They can promise it, but they can't deliver on it. So it's a bunch of lies. What I see on one side, and especially with these school shootings, there's a solution, and they don't even want to hear about that. They just want gun control. That's the only thing on the table, gun control. And, of course, banning a gun won't do a darn thing, and actually it's not intended to. I think their intentions is more like free speech control. Maybe somebody said something to this kid that made him do what he did. They're going to start going down that road, and pretty soon they'll start banning microaggressions. That's what they're always saying about conservatives. So you're not allowed to say anything. This is where we're heading, people. It's not gonna get better unless we start taking control, not control, but start doing what's right. That's what I'm trying to say. They're going to have to, if they're violent, they're going to have police arrest them. That's the only thing I can think of to do. If they start bringing guns, I don't know what to tell you then. I don't want to see that happen, but I'm afraid someday some of these people on the left will have guns, and they're not going to have them like we have them. They're going to use them to kill and maim and threaten and intimidate, where we don't do that. You don't see a conservative doing it. And, in fact, let's just go right down to the gun control debate, the ones on the left. All these assassinations, all these school shootings pretty much were committed by people on the left, by Democrats. So it tells you who they really are. That's their real face right there. They might say they love people and are full of love and this hippie type of love. And look at their real faces when they come out with guns and they're going to use them for violence. That's all they use them for. I have them, I use them for lawful purposes. I never use them to hurt anybody. I might mutilate a pop can or a cardboard box, and that's about it. So anyway, I'll turn it back to you.
Well, I agree with you. Gary, you make a lot of good points as usual. And if anybody else wants to come on the phone on the show here, just please call us at 646-787-8534 and press 1 when you get on here, and we'll get you in here for a comment or a question or whatever you have. The key to this is the one word you used, and that's solution. I think there's better solutions, obviously, than gun control. We mentioned a little bit of stuff that we could do. I was talking with you in the green room like before we were starting the show, and one of the things that I suggest as a solution is And I've heard this on Sean Hannity's show and a bunch of others and that too, of the conservative nature, of course. And that is basically if we were to basically, for these schools, for example, you know, they had a security guard on there, and you know, that was just one. I mean, they had what, I think there was like, I don't know how many people in this school, but there's a lot of kids in this school. So anyways, I think that what they need to have is if they could hire, you know, retired vets or retired police officers. These are agile. One, the people that are, you know, able to do the job still, they may be older, whatever have you, but, you know, at the same time, is they have a job. They can do this job. And if even, you know, even if they can't handle a 40-hour, you know, week or whatever have you, or just every day working at these schools, whatever have you, just even if they had like a hired like 15, hired one of these people that were working maybe 15 to 20 hours per week. And then if they were doing that as a volunteer, 15 to 20 hours a week, what we do is we give them, you know, their taxes free for that year. You know, as long as they're putting in the 15 to 20 hours of volunteer, they can actually, you know, have it come off their taxes. So therefore, they're contributing to society by helping these kids and whatever have you, and the teachers too. You know, I mean, even teachers, they can actually have, you know, they have some teachers that want to basically be armed and whatever have you. And as long as it's all legal, folks, as long as it's all legal, they got their guns legally, of course, everything, you know, they're able to, you know, they got their certificate to be able to, firearms certificate, whatever you need to be able to show that you can actually work that gun and be responsible. That's what this is all about, too. So instead of gun control, we want responsible control of the situation itself. So therefore, if you have all that, you know, you're good to go. You got all these people out there that are now, you know, they're retired vets. You know, they're not really doing a whole lot, maybe, or you know, whatever have you. It gives them incentive to be able to help again, do what they're best doing, as defending. So they can be proactive in this, not just reactive, you know, and therefore they can actually have something to, and therefore that takes care of, you know, and no gun-free zones anywhere, no gun-free zones. So therefore, because you need to have people that are responsible there to counteract if someone that comes in that obviously is not, you know, responsible. Because let's face it, phones. You look at Chicago. Gun-free zones and all kind of stuff, whatever. And they're the highest crime in the whole country. I mean, that if they took the gun-free zones away and they had people that were there. These people that are coming in, if they think it's a gun-free zone, they know it's a free-for-all. They can do whatever they want. But if they know that it's not a gun-free zone, they do not know who's in there packing like they are. So therefore, their chances of trying to get in there and do something, they're going to have second thoughts of that, because now they know they're up against someone else that's just has the same kind of gun or whatever have you, or whatever. There could be 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 people in there. They have the guns on them. So therefore, that right there would deter a lot right there alone with getting rid of all these gun-free zones, and in the schools having all these, you know, having one of these retired vets or retired police officers or even just civilians that actually want to do this as a volunteer that have been trained and whatever have you. You know, anyone, it doesn't matter who it is, it's just we're giving that right back to the people that can have a job, and they, you know, and it's a volunteer, but they still get their taxes taken care of. So therefore, it's not going to be as expensive as most people think. If you have to pay them, well, they'll get some good tax breaks, of course. So therefore, what's wrong with that? If they're defending your children, I mean, hey, Nancy Pelosi and all these other people have their security guards. They're defending them. What's wrong with having our kids being protected in the schools, whether it be by teachers, volunteers of any nature that are of good sound mind? You know, and when they do their, you know, they have their firearms certificate, whatever they need to have everything done that shows that they're responsible. Then now we have people that are in there. It's not a gun-free zone, so therefore, now we have everybody on every floor of the school. For example, a few of them on each floor have teachers volunteer if they want to have a gun on them, whatever have you. Then that's fine. They're responsible. It's legal. And they have people outside the school so no one can get in if they do happen to get in or whatever the situation is. But here's what's also important too. I think that if we have these children having a rapport with all these officers or these volunteers that are that way, if they see something, they can tell. If they know something's going on, like this other Nicholas Cruz, he's no kid, folks. He was 19 years old, and there was many, many years of problems with this. You know, that in its own is just terrible. But when you look at someone that maybe for the first time, they're a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old, whatever. They, you know, someone of their friends or someone else they saw witnessed something, heard something. That way they can go to one of these officers or one of these trained volunteers or whatever have you, and then go to them and say, you know, I heard this or I saw this. That way that can be investigated. That can be investigated and therefore prevent this from happening. What's your thoughts, Gary?
Well, exactly. I think they, from what I hear, and if I'm wrong, I'll correct it later, but I heard he was visited by cops. This cruise was visited by cops, I think, 49 times or something like that. And they never,
yeah.
You know, he was troubled all his whole life. And he said on, I don't know if it was on a Twitter or some, well, it was on online anyway, he said that he wanted to become a professional school shooter. And that's what he said. And, he fulfilled his, you know, thing. You know, he was dreaming about doing that. So if that doesn't wake people up, I would think that, you know, there's something wrong. I just like there's some, and okay, I'll point out something. While this is going on, the shooting was going on, the cops wouldn't even go in. They stayed outside. You know, you got to go in there. I was trained in law enforcement myself. You got to go after that gung ho, but you got to be ready. You got to have this is going to sound terrible, my friend, but you got to have an itchy trigger finger because you got to be prepared to shoot just in case, you know, because it takes
right.
a split second to be killed. You got to shoot and put them down. And nobody wants to shoot a 19-year-old kid. But the thing is, if you have no choice, you know, you have a right to defend yourself. We go back to God's law again, see? We have a right to defend ourselves. It isn't what we want to do, it's not what we want to do. It's the only thing you can do sometimes. And I know that sounds horrible, but sometimes you have to kill to stay alive, you know. And I don't know how any better to put it. I don't know how any way better to put something like that, but that's just the way I was raised, too. You know, we were raised on the farm, and, you know, we were raised under going to church on Sunday. And a lot of going to church, you spend time, you get to visit with people at church a little bit, and you get to visit with the priest. I was raised as a Catholic, and, you know, and it was, you know, in fact, our priest, you know, he was pro-gun, too. I mean, he's, you know, he used to take his kids out. When we were in high school, we'd go out with the priest. He'd take us out, and we'd go off for rabbit hunts, you know, and the rabbit, you know, the fur, you get money. You take the rabbit in, they pay you for the fur, you know, they make gloves or whatever they make out of it, And nowadays, if somebody would say that, you're a murderer. That's what they would do now. The ones on the left would call you a murderer. I was called that because I own guns. I said, you know, I would be happy if I would be willing to go through all the training, because I already went through law enforcement training, but I'm sure becoming a guard at a school, there might be some additional training, but I'd be willing to go through it, and I'd be happy to protect their children. And the first thing the left did, you just want to shoot our kids, you know. And I said, no, I want to save their lives. I said, they're being shot already. I mean, they're
right.
not going to feel safe if they're being shot at. They'll probably feel safe to have somebody armed there, knowing that they're going to be protected. Can there be mistakes? Yes. I mean, anytime the human beings are factored in, there's always going to be mistakes. Things happen. I know sometimes, you know, maybe a shooting can happen, but that's extremely rare. But I think in Israel, they started arming up teachers and stuff like that. And since they were having problems with school shootings, too, and I think it pretty much took care of the whole problem since 1974. I don't think they had any. If there was any, it was very, very, very few. And, of course, you can go to all these other nations that don't have any guns at all, don't allow you to have guns. And they still have school shootings, and they still have mass shootings. They try to cover it up, but they're there.
Exactly.
Look at Europe. You know, I mean, they have mass shootings, and guns are pretty much banned there, you know. So, anyway, I'll pass this back over to you. I don't think we have too much time left here, so I'll let you wrap up the show. Is it about 5-2? About like that, I guess?
Yeah, we got about 6 minutes left or something, yeah. I wanted to quickly point out.
I'll turn it back to you then, my friend.
Okay, thank you, Gary. I wanted to quickly point out, too, the NRA has been under a lot of heat last week with a lot of people boycotting and whatever have you, these companies, whatever have you. You know, folks, the NRA, the National Rifle Association, they do not condone, people going out and shooting people and all that stuff. No, they sell guns. They have all what they do, and they do it for the right reasons. Yeah, let's put it this way. The NRA does not want to have these mass shootings. I mean, if you look at it from this point of view, either. All these people that are getting killed, those are people that can no longer defend themselves or buy guns and actually be legal to use them and everything. If they're dead, they can't. So therefore, why would the NRA want to have all these mass shootings? That means less people to be able to be part of that processing of having something that's legal. So therefore, it's a bunch of hogwash. They're using it to say that NRA is actually, they're pro, just having anyone to have any kind of gun, whatever. If people understand and associate with the NRA, they understand the NRA is very extremely responsible. They've been around for 200 years now or something, whatever. It's been like unbelievable, and they do not condone all this violence and whatever have you. They only condone the actual rights that we are given to defend ourselves. That's it. That's all. It's pretty simple. So therefore, that's what I'm trying to say is folks. We all these people that are boycotting or whatever, it's all to push the agenda of the gun control, which is to control people the government can have control over them. It's not about just about the killings and whatever have you. It's about actually so the government can remove everything from us, and therefore that's what they're trying to push. They're trying to push this NRA out. And they've been doing it for years. They've been trying for years and years to do this. But, it isn't going to work because, first and foremost, God has spoken. God has spoken by many reasons, many ways, I should say. And one is he's anointed our president, Donald J. Trump. And Donald J. Trump himself has two sons that are avid NRA and gun law supports and whatever have you. So therefore, you're not going to see that change. God will not allow it because he does give them the rights to give us the rights to defend ourselves. So therefore, all this stuff and whatever, all this focus on this gun control, whatever, and then all these boycotts against the NRA. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see more. Well, we are actually. I've seen more and more people are actually associating with the NRA that weren't associated with the NRA. So now we're seeing it all. I think it's going to come out in the wash, folks. Where it's going to expose a lot more of the reasons to why these companies are boycotting them. So it's one of those things that I kind of look at this. We had to have Obama to understand how good Trump is. I mean, seriously, folks, we had to have we had Ronald Reagan, and then we had the Bushes that were hot and cold on a lot of different things. But we have an extreme of the worst president that we thought was Jimmy Carter in the 70s, and then all of a sudden in the 90s, or sorry, in the last 8 years, well, a year ago, 8 years before that, we had Obama, which was proven to be the worst president for every policy he had, pretty much. There wasn't one thing I could agree with him on, and therefore we've seen the result of how bad it was, and this gun control thing is another issue with that. So therefore, I'm seeing here that you're seeing also, I'm sure, the result of what Donald J. Trump, our president, is doing and has been doing, even when it comes to removing all of the restrictions that we have. No president has done that in any whole term, let alone less than 1 year at that time that Donald Trump had done it. So therefore, these are all things that God's exposing, and the boycotts have to happen in order for people to wake up, just like Obama had to happen, in order for people to wake up and see the realness of this whole thing. And that is, I believe, what's going to happen with exposure with all this. But what I will do is, folks, we have a show next Sunday also, March 11th, from 1 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'd like you to join us here on the Pit Radio News, A Politically Inconvenient Truth. And it's just nothing but straight talk with Gary, myself, and our guests that we have. And we ask you to call in 646-787-8534 and press 1 if you have a comment or question. And we're going to close out the show this week with some hard work. Folks, we earn, Gary was saying the word earn. We do not get everything handed to us. We have to earn it from God. We have to earn that trust from God and everyone else that we're with in our lives. So let's get some hard work into this situation here with Paul Harvey. And we thank you very much, and God bless you all, America, and everybody. So we thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next Sunday, March 11th, And that'll be at 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you very much, my friend, Gary Rumor, up in North Dakota. God bless you and your family and everyone else here in this world. Thank you.
And God bless you too, my friend, and you and your family also.
Well, thank you very much. And here we go with some Hard Work by Paul Harvey.
Americans preachers tell me that there is no sermon which is looked forward to with less enthusiasm than a sermon about sin. Well, that's probably true if we're talking about a secular sermon on the subject of hard work. There is no gospel less popular than the gospel of hard work. I could ask you right now to demonstrate your faith in America by handing poison to snakes, and many or most of you would. I could outline a fundamental Christian code of conduct which strictly forbids the use of stimulants or sedatives or the wearing of jewelry, and many would, willingly and without question, accept and be bound by such abstinence. Our leaders could readily rally you to fight and die for your country, as they have many times, and you would even again. But if Paul Harvey or any politician should state that our only chance for survival is to get off our dead centers and get to work, well, I'd be lucky if you'd let me finish. But I'm going to test my luck today. You see, I don't happen to be running for or from anything, and that does make a difference. The pregnant skyline of America was set in place one brick at a time. Now, that represents a lot of calluses. America the Beautiful is not an accomplished fact guaranteed to remain intact. God shed his grace on thee, to be sure, but this was wasteland when God had it to himself. He handed man a hoe and said, "You want another Eden? All right, earn it." And all that's necessary for the weeds to take over again is for you and me to lay down that hoe. Now, Americans, the problem is less acute today than it has been. We're on the right track right now. But if we sit down on that track, I'm afraid we're going to get run over. We tell our young people how our country was carved out of the wilderness. No, it wasn't. Our nation was not carved out of the wilderness. Our nation was hammered and hoed and chopped and dug and sawed and clawed out of the wilderness by barehanded men who asked nothing for nothing. America did not start out with an agricultural production that's the awe and envy of the world. It was seeded first by sod-busting farmers who fought Indians and ranchers and cold and heat and drought and bugs and flood and one another. The fruited plain sprang forth from barren acres only after they had been watered with a lot of sweat. I guess what I'm saying is that the more history I study, ours and others, the more certain I am that there is one fertilizer essential to the survival of civilization, and that fertilizer is sweat. And I don't mean perspiration. I mean the kind of steamy, streamy, salty sweat that's wrung from a man by hard physical work. Somehow, the sweat gets into the soil of a farm or a factory or a city or a state or a nation, and everything thereabouts grows tall and strong and tough enough to stand against any storm. But the day the sweat dries up, the soil dries up, and whole civilizations are buried in dust.